We shall be looking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we will take time to go into the scriptures and see what does the Bible teach us about who the Holy Spirit is and what happened and why is he most important to the life of a Christian. So the Holy Spirit is going to be our topic today. So when we look at the word baptism, baptism, as you're aware, is, you know, naturally we think of it of someone being put in the water, where the process where someone is immersed in water, immersion in water, and soaking until one is filled. And baptism was something that was started by John the Baptist, and it was a symbol that they were washed, that they had repented of their sins, and now they are turning on a new life. And usually it is symbolic in that it represents an outward manifestation of an inward reality. And the Christians do baptism because Jesus commanded it. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus commanded the disciples to baptize the believers, to anyone that believes in Jesus, to be baptized in water. But then today we are speaking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that means there is also an aspect of baptism that is, it's kind of related to baptism in water, but it is not baptism in water, but it is baptism in the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? Some people confuse the Holy Spirit to be a thing or a power. So when they will say the Holy Spirit, you know, they will consider it as a power, you know, as something that came on them, but they don't consider the Holy Spirit as a person. You know, the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Remember how we understand God? God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's one God, but he exists in three persons. He's found in three persons. And each of these three persons are equal. That means the Father is equal to the Son is equal to the Father, and the Son is also equal to the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father. But the way they have chosen to relate themselves is that the Father is the source, the one who sends the Son. That's why Jesus says the Father is greater than me, because he humbles himself to be sent. And the Spirit is also sent by the Father on the request of the Son. So you can see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together. They are all God, but then the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a spirit being that is a person and is the Spirit of God. He is also the one that makes us aware of the presence of God. He is a person. He empowers the believers. That means the Holy Spirit gives power to believers. But the Holy Spirit is not a power or a thing. So he empowers the believers. Some people think the Holy Spirit has a power, but he is not a power, but he is someone that empowers the believers. So he gives power to the believers. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So after the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers, they receive power. Now, when we say baptism in the Holy Spirit, what do we mean by that? We mean the process by which a believer receives the divine impartation of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. That means either the Holy Spirit anointing them and the Holy Spirit giving them unique gifts, which is usually initially evidenced by the speaking in other tongues. So when someone receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and stays upon the believer. Now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit happens after salvation, and we call it a post-conversion experience, in which the believer is filled with the Holy Spirit and is empowered for service. So the believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. It happens after salvation, and the Holy Spirit empowers the person, baptizes the person. Now, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and gives you new birth, regenerates you. There is no one who can be born again except they are born of water and of the Spirit. So Jesus was very keen in John chapter 3, verse 3. He told Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And later he explains that when Nicodemus asks, "How can I be born again? Will I enter my mother's womb?" Jesus tells him that except one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that makes a believer, someone who was in sin and comes to Jesus and believes in Jesus. It is only the Holy Spirit that is enables you to be born again. And the Holy Spirit is the regeneration. In fact, Titus chapter 3 verse 4 to 5 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So the regeneration and the renewing is done by the Holy Spirit. That means God makes you a new creation. That's why the Bible tells us, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So when you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. That means there's a regeneration that has taken place, and the Holy Spirit comes and unites with your spirit, and you become a new creation. Now, this new creation has the Holy Spirit living in them. That's why the Bible tells us that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit lives in you? So the anointing within, or the Holy Spirit inside you, every believer who has believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside them. But then when we speak about baptism in the Holy Spirit, the words, different words that are used is receiving the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit coming upon the person, or receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or baptism with fire. So these are different words that are used for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember, in baptism you are soaked in water until you are fully soaked. Now in baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is given to you, you are now filled so much in it that we call it, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. So this is how we refer to baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you're filled and the Holy Spirit fills you completely, and then you become baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're going to understand. What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit and understand it? Let us first look at what John the Baptist said. When John the Baptist was baptizing people with water, people came and asked him, "John, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?" Then he said, "I am not the Messiah." Then he was asked, "Then why are you baptizing?" He said, "I am baptizing with water." But in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." That means John knew that his baptism was for people to repent of their sins. He said, "But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And the Bible says, verse 12 says, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So he says that there is one who will come who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but then the fire here refers to the zeal for evangelism. And you know, when on the day of Pentecost, what happened is that tongues of fire appeared and divided over each and every believer, and the tongues of fire enabled them, and they were able to speak in other tongues. But also remember that the fire also represents the judgment of God, because God is a consuming fire. Now, look at, so who is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire? It is Jesus Christ, because John was very keen to say, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the person who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Now, who gets baptized with the Holy Spirit? You know, many times people say, oh, you need to have done this, you need to have done this. But if you look at what Jesus taught about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you'll realize that God is very willing to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks of him. Look at what Luke chapter 11 verse 9 says. Verse 9 to 13, it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. So God is saying, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open to you. And he says, everyone, not some people will get, some people will not get. He says, everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Verse 11 says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent, that is a snake, instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is saying, any earthly father, even if the father is bad and evil, he does not give a bad gift to his child. Every father, every parent loves their child. Even if the child is a thief today, the mother or the father will be there in the court with them. Why? Because they love this child. God says, even if you're evil, any of you, you can give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? So God is saying, I am willing to give you the best gift. Who is the best gift? The best gift is the Holy Spirit. Think about it. God is mighty. He is a spirit. He is everywhere in the world. He is in the heavens. He is under the earth. He is anywhere at any time. And he says, I want to give you my spirit. I want to give you, the God of the universe wants to give you himself, to that himself to walk with you. Now imagine God is walking with you. That means you're not just carrying, you're not just alone. Even if you think you're alone, you're not alone. But the Holy Spirit, everyone that has believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with them. And God says, anyone who asks, your heavenly Father will give to him. And what does Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says? And this was Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. And he referred to the prophecy of Joel. And he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Look at what God is saying. He will remove from his spirit. That means that there is a portion of God that he can release. You know, God, if you want to imagine God, you can think of God like an ocean of water. If you take a cup out of the ocean, it is still water. If you take a whole jerrycan, it is still water. If you take a full drum, it is still water. And the ocean is not exhausted. That is what God is saying. That for him, as a spirit, he will pour out of his spirit. That means he can pour out of himself to you and to everyone that asks of him. And he is still not exhausted. And each of you will still have the Spirit of God with them. That is the mystery of God. He can be everywhere and in one place at the same time. He can be know all things and he can reveal it to you. And the Bible says, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That means God wants every human being to receive the Holy Spirit. All flesh, every person that asks of God of the Holy Spirit, you will receive. And the Bible says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Look at what God is saying. God is saying, I will pour out my spirit on you, whether you are sons or daughters, whether you are a young man or a young woman, whether you are male or female, whether you are old or young, I will pour out of my spirit. And what will be the evidence of the Spirit of God being coming upon you? You shall prophesy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking the word of God. That means God will give you the ability to preach. That comes from the Holy Spirit. The only way that I'm able to share the scriptures with you is because of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was prophesied. Jesus, God said that, he'll pour out of my spirit, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That means both men and women shall prophesy, that shall preach the word of God. And he says, your young men shall see visions. God will open your spiritual eyes that you see visions. This is what God has promised. You shall dream dreams. God shall show you things in dreams. And that is what God does to those who have his spirit, that God reveals things to you in your dreams. You might not even understand, but you dream of something and it comes to pass. That was the Spirit of God revealing it to you. Look at what Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God is saying the gift of the Holy Spirit comes to those who have believed, come to those who have received, come to those who have asked God to forgive their sins, and you just receive it. A gift is to be received. If something is a gift, you don't work for it. It is to be received. Your job is to say, Father, I ask of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And your job is to say, I have received it in faith. You receive it in faith. This is what God says. Now, Jesus also promised us the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, of whom the world cannot receive. So this is another name of the Holy Spirit. He is a helper. He will abide with you forever. That means the Holy Spirit will never leave you. The moment he has come into your heart, he is going to stay with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That means anyone in the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. But the moment you are truly a believer, you receive him. And the Bible says, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit will going to live with you. And he's not only going to live with you, he's also going to live inside you. That means, can you imagine the Holy Spirit? He's around you. He's living with you. He's inside you. He'll be in you. And then on top of that, we know that he will come upon us when he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. So this is the beauty of the Word of God. Now let us look at what the Bible is saying in Amplified Version. If we look at the Amplified Version, what does the Amplified Version say? The Amplified Version says, and I will ask the Father, John 14 verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another helper, and in bracket it says, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your helper. You feel you're alone, you have help from the Holy Spirit. That's why in the morning when you're struggling, you just say, Holy Spirit, help me. The Bible says he's your comforter. When you're crying, when you're disappointed, God, through the Holy Spirit, he comforts you. You feel the comfort from the Lord when you ask him. He's your comforter. He's also your advocate. That means he's your defender. He's your lawyer. When you are in trouble, it's the Holy Spirit that defends us. He is also your intercessor. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Bible tells us, even when we do not know how to pray, or what to pray for, or how we ought to pray, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans, with groans that words cannot express. That means the Holy Spirit prays for us. There are moments where you are praying and you don't even have the strength to pray. And that is when the Holy Spirit takes over. He enables you to pray. The Holy Spirit is also your counselor. That means he gives you wisdom. He gives you advice. He directs your steps. Your job is to depend on the Holy Spirit. If you depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you, he will guide you. Every time you are torn in between two decisions, just say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, guide me. I know you hear me. I know you are near me. Guide me. You are given to walk with me. You will be in me. I know you are with me. Guide me, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also is our strengthener. He's the one that will strengthen you. Just told his disciples, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power. That is supernatural strength. We do not live life based on our own strength. If you work on your own strength, you're going to be tired. The Bible tells us that the youth grow tired and weary. Even young men, they stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings and eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there is a renewal of strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is why he is our strengthener. That is why anytime you come to the house of God, you always go back home feeling that, no, I feel energized. I feel strengthened. I feel I have received, you know, strength from the Holy Spirit. This is because he is our strengthener. The Holy Spirit also is our standby. He is the one that is next to you. Can you imagine, like, when you don't have power, you have a standby backup. Eh? You have a standby generator. You have a standby UPS. The Holy Spirit is our standby. That means that he is ready to help us. He is ready to stand with us. He is ready to be with us. And the Bible says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. That means you cannot see the Holy Spirit with your eyes, the way you want to see with your naked eyes. No. But there is a knowledge that you know of him. You can sense his presence. But also, he manifests himself. He has manifestations that prove he's there. It's just like the wind. You cannot touch the wind, but you feel the effect of the wind. Likewise, too, you may not be able to touch the Holy Spirit, but you cannot deny his presence. His presence is tangible. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you." The Holy Spirit is going to remind you everything that Jesus has said, everything that you read about God, that you have read in the Bible, that you have read in a scripture, or that you have heard someone was preaching. It is the Holy Spirit that reminds you at the time when you need it. The Holy Spirit brings to life the scripture. So Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. In fact, in John chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Bible says, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you." That means the Holy Spirit is your advantage, is the advantage for the believer. You know, people go for interviews with after they have made their prayers to their gods, with charms, with things they have put on their hands, you know, whatever they have tried to do. But God is telling you that the Holy Spirit is your advantage. When you're going for that interview, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. When you're applying for that job, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. You have an advantage. Who is the Holy Spirit? And you must believe in Him. Now, what did Jesus say also? He said, spoke about thirst. Whoever is thirsty, rivers of living water. John chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Look at what Isaiah 12 verse 3 says. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That means there is a river inside every believer that comes from the Holy Spirit. And he says the more you are thirsty, the more rivers of living water shall come out of your inner man, shall come out of your belly. And they shall flow, these rivers shall flow. That means God shall release life and life to you. And he says that he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is being referred to here as rivers of living water. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So it was necessary that the Holy Spirit would only come after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and when Jesus is glorified. So the Holy Spirit could only come after the resurrection of Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me. God is saying, if you believe, if you just believe, he says, out of your belly, out of your inner man, you're going to feel the bubbling of the Holy Spirit coming from inside you, and he will flow what? Rivers of living water. So because Jesus is glorified, Jesus died, he resurrected, he is now glorified, then the Holy Spirit is released. Remember, the Holy Spirit could only be given to the believers or to the disciples after Jesus resurrected. They could not have received the Holy Spirit before that. And that was very important that we know. Jesus died and he resurrected. Now, during his period after he resurrected, there is something that happened that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And this we read in John chapter 20. And when we read John chapter 20 from verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And then verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So Jesus, even before the day of Pentecost, when the day, when he, before he ascended into heaven, remember he has already resurrected, he released the Holy Spirit to the believers. And that is why we keep saying that when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes you spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates you, that makes you born again. So every person who has believed in Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in them. But there is a second experience, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, as we said, is now when you are fully immersed. Remember, if you're baptized in water, you are dipped in water until you are fully soaked with water until you come out. Now, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are fully filled with the Holy Spirit. until you are overflowing. And this is what happens to the believers. So the disciples, before Jesus left, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and they became born again. That is when they became born again. But then they were told, still wait in Jerusalem. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus tells them, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That means he's telling them, wait first in the city of Jerusalem until you receive, endued, that word is until you are clothed with power from on high. Until the power of God comes and surrounds you like a cloth, endued with power from on high, told them to wait in Jerusalem, tarry. That means they to stay in the place of prayer, stay in the place of worship. And the Bible tells us in those days, the disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See what God is saying? He's saying that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit that is available for every believer. Look at what Mark 16, verse 15, when Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. These are the words of who? The words of Jesus. He's telling his disciples, anyone that believes, there are certain signs that will follow. Signs refers to evidence. You know, when someone has the signs of chickenpox, they have the pistols, they have the wounds, the skin rashes. Those are the signs of chickenpox. You cannot say you have chickenpox and you don't have the signs of chickenpox. Even doctors know the meaning of signs. So Jesus said, these are the signs will follow those who believe. So that means those who believe in the name of Jesus, what will happen? They will cast out demons. That is the first authority that God gives you as a believer, to cast out devils, to cast out demons. That means if you encounter demons, demons of sicknesses, demons or whatever, you have the power to rebuke it. You say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. In the name of Jesus, you demon of bad dreams, get out of my house, get out of my life. And the devils have to obey, because these are signs. Then the Bible says they will also speak with new tongues. These are the heavenly tongues. God says that every believer who believes, who has chosen to believe, will receive new tongues. These are the words of Jesus. Some people say, oh, Jesus did not speak about tongues. He did. It is there in the scriptures. Verse 18, the Bible says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. This does not mean that you go look for snakes, and you know, some people look for snakes or some people look for poison. No. The serpents might come to attack you. Remember Paul, when he was on the island, as he was collecting firewood, a snake jumped and bit his hand. But then he put the snake in the fire and nothing harmed him. What was he remembering? He was remembering the words of Jesus. You shall take up snakes and they shall drink anything poisonous and it will not harm you. I remember one of the pastors and he was, you know, some thieves came to his house and they forced him to drink poison. They say, today we have got, you must drink this poison and die. So he said, okay, fine. It's only that is what you want. So he took the poison and said, you poison, from now you have become water, or was it milk, a tea. And he drank it. And they waited for him to die. He did not die, because he understood something. There is a scripture that said, Jesus said, even if they take up deadly poison, that means those people wanted to kill him. But they could not. They could not, because he has been protected by the Lord Jesus. So these are signs. There is also the evidence of the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I assure you, if you are going to be a believer that is going to witness, you cannot be a witness, an effective witness for Christ without the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, wait first in Jerusalem. Do not go until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, until you receive the power. Even Jesus himself, even though he was the Son of God, he waited until the Holy Spirit came upon him on the day of his baptism before he started his ministry. If you want to go on your own, you will be defeated. But if you go with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized, you will be empowered. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will give you the ability, he will give you the strength, and he will walk with you. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly they came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at what the Bible is saying. The day of Pentecost, all those 120 people that were in the upper room, they heard the sound from heaven. They heard the mighty wind. Remember, God speaks as, you know, as the sound of a mighty wind, you know, the sound of many waters. And the sound filled the whole room. And then fire, divided tongues, comes upon each and every one of their heads. That means God was baptizing every one of them with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we said the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and now is like an overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life that gives you the power to do, to be an effective witness. And what the Bible says, they began to speak. So it is not the Holy Spirit that speaks on your behalf. It is the believer that speaks. Remember, we said you ask in faith. You believe in faith that you're asking the Father. He's a good Father. He has promised to give to everyone who asks. Then you receive in faith. You say, I receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And then you speak in faith. That means you speak the tongues that God puts in your mouth, the tongues that God enables you to speak. It might be simple. It might be complex, depending on what God, the Holy Spirit, allows you to. The more you speak, the more it grows, and we don't lose it. It's just that we don't exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit. The more we exercise it, then the more we speak in tongues. The only reason we that speak in tongues, we speak more, is because we exercise it. It's a gift that God has given you to exercise by will. The moment you have received it, that day that you received it, is the day he baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And because you received it, if you continue in it, if you continue speaking in tongues, you're not waiting for, you know, some people wait for that special environment before they speak in tongues. No, you don't need to wait. You can start. And even as you start, in the beginning, it might feel like it's mechanical. But as you continue, you will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit come and empower you and strengthen you. And you'll realize that the Holy Spirit is with you. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? They spoke in languages they did not know, but the people around them understood them. Now you must understand there are two types of tongues. There is the tongues that you speak in another language you don't know, but that language is understood by other people in the world. Like, let's say if I start speaking in Bangla, to me I don't know Bangla. But because I'm speaking in Bangla, I'm speaking, and you people understand, I'll be speaking in tongues. Like, I know of a pastor who went to Brazil. He has never spoken Portuguese. And then the interpreter did not come. But as he started to preach, he started to preach in Portuguese. And people understood him. And all of a sudden, within one day, God taught him the Portuguese language. And he knows Portuguese now. He preaches in Portuguese. Amazing. So the God can do amazing miracles. But then there is also the other speaking in tongues, which you don't understand. And it is not a language that exists on the earth, but it is a heavenly language that only the Spirit of God understands. Now that is also speaking in tongues. And that is where you speak directly to God. And the Bible says, he that prays in a tongues prays to God, even though no one understands him. The Holy Spirit understands him. Look at another example and this one we have read about people speaking in tongues, and this was a prophecy of Joel. And even Isaiah prophesied it. He said that with men of stammering lips, he will speak to these people. In Isaiah 28 verse 11, he says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to these people." That means God has already said that he's going to speak to the Israelites with people of other tongues. He's going to use stammering lips and another tongue to speak to these people. And then he says, to whom he said, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear." God is giving us that the speaking in tongues refreshes you. Speaking in tongues give you rest. Speaking in tongues speaks directly to God. You pray over things that you don't even know. In fact, there are moments when you feel like praying and you don't even know what to pray for. Pray in tongues. Why? Because you're speaking directly to God. Look at what happened in among the disciples. They preached boldly. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they preached boldly. They preached with signs and wonders. They did not fear. The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. So miracles, the miraculous power of God is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is a person, when he baptizes you, when he walks with you, he is the one that performs the miracle. That's why Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up and walk. And the man walked. Look at the miracles that were done. Acts 5 verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So many people believe that even, they brought people who were sick that the shadow of Peter might fall on some of them. This is verse 15, Acts chapter 5. Verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who are tormented by unclean spirits. And the Bible says, and they were all healed. So the disciples preached boldly. God did miracles, God witnessed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Another aspect happened. These were people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But another infilling happened again. So when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, does not mean that you cannot be baptized again. You cannot be filled again. You can have frequent infillings the more hungry you are. The more you just go to God and say, "Fill me, fill me." He can fill you again. The Bible tells us that the disciples, when they had prayed together, Acts chapter 4 verse 31, and when they had prayed, the Bible says, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at that. When the Holy Spirit was filled with them, they spoke in tongues, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they gives you boldness. The Holy Spirit will make you bold. You will preach the word without fear. You will not fear any works of the enemy. Even in Samaria, when Philip went to preach to them, he preached, they believed, and then he sent for the apostles to come and pray for the disciples, for those who had believed in Samaria, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, for when he had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. So when the hands are laid on you by the apostles, by the church leaders, by those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are also able to receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is a receiving. In scripture, when it says the word receiving, it is you grab it by faith. You say, "I receive it by faith. I accept it. I am receiving it. I am not letting it go." And this is what makes the difference between, when you read the scripture, some people argue, but it does not say they spoke in tongues. But the Bible says, Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of hands. That means there was something he saw. And the theologians, the early church fathers, agreed that the Samaritans spoke in tongues because there had to be an evidence that the Holy Spirit had come on them. And what evidence could have Simon seen except the speaking in tongues? So what happens when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? We have the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Another example we see is Saul. Saul, when his eyes were closed, you know, when after he met Jesus, Ananias comes and meets him and says, "Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road as you came sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." That is Acts chapter 9, verse 17. We are not told that immediately Paul spoke with tongues, but Paul is one that says, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." Then he says later on, verse 19, "Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others, than 10,000 words with a tongue." So he's speaking about the order, but he does not speak about that we should stop people from speaking in tongues. We should allow people to speak in tongues as much as they can. The Gentiles, remember the house of Cornelius. Cornelius, first of all, the vision comes to Peter when he was hungry. God brings animals and clean things with a sheet. They come down to him and he's told, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean." And the voice speaks to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this happened 3 times. But God was trying to tell Peter that, "I want to pour out the Spirit on the Gentiles." And eventually when he goes to the house of Cornelius, he starts to speak. And while he's speaking, the Bible says, Acts chapter 10, verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who had the word." That means even when we are preaching to people, the Holy Spirit can fall upon people. At times we expect only the laying on of hands, but it does not need to be that. Even while we are speaking, the Holy Spirit can touch people. The Holy Spirit can heal people. The Holy Spirit can deliver people. The Holy Spirit can cast out demons of people. I remember last year in December when we were having some crusades back home, while even we are singing, demons starts coming out of people. While we are preaching, people in their houses, they are not even at the crusade ground, they are hearing the speaker from their houses. Demons start manifesting. They start coming out. They have to bring them to the crusade ground. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not limited by distance. So Peter was expecting that, oh, these are Gentiles, they will not receive the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were astonished. And they said, because the gift, remember it is a gift, of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And the Bible says, verse 46, "For they had them speak with tongues and magnify God." That means what happened on the day of Pentecost is similar to what was happening to this, the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was not a Jew. And because they said, so if these people have received the same Holy Spirit as we have, what is stopping them from being baptized? And they said, let them be baptized. So what we see, whenever we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. So that means God also releases the gift of speaking in tongues. Even another example is in Ephesus. When Paul goes to Ephesus, and this you can read in Acts chapter 19, he finds some disciples, 12 disciples, and he asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They say to him, "We have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit, whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Verse 4, "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." That means there was the baptism in water, they were baptized in water. And then when Paul laid hands on them, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Think about any time the Holy Spirit comes, either you're going to prophesy, you're going to speak with other tongues, there is going to be an evidence that the Holy Spirit came upon you. And the Bible says now the men were 12. So what do we say about speaking in tongues? We say that if you are speaking in tongues, just know that you cannot be cursing God. You know, one of the reasons people fear speaking in tongues is because they say, maybe I'm cursing God. But 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3 says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." That means when you're speaking in tongues, in speaking the Holy Spirit, you cannot cast God. You cannot cast Jesus, but you'll only be speaking the right things to God. But remember, tongues are not important if we don't have love. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians 14, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you speak in tongues, no one will understand you. Remember, we said there are two types of tongues. There's a tongue that you speak that is a human language that you don't know it, but there's also the tongue that is not a human language, it's a heavenly language. No one understands you, but in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking mysteries to God. So this is something that is very important. It's a mystery to God. Only God understands it, and it is a blessing to speak this language. And that is why, look at 1 Corinthians verse 14, chapter 14, verse 15. It says, what is the conclusion? Okay, let's read verse 14. Verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. That means when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying. But my understanding is unfruitful. Your mind will not understand. Verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So you see, he's saying it is a conclusion. He says, do both. Do both. Pray in tongues and pray with your understanding. Sing in tongues and sing with your understanding. And of course, he gives the guidance of order. If someone is speaking in tongues, you're not going to preach to a congregation in tongues unless there's an interpreter. That is not the right order. So if you're praying in tongues, you can pray to yourself. You can do it. You can edify yourself. But if you're preaching to people, you need to preach in a language that people understand. And he's very keen to say, I do not forbid everyone from speaking in tongues. So the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, can also manifest with evidence of gifts. You know, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the spirit of wisdom, for the profit of all. It can be gift of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, you know, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but the same Spirit works in all of them. So the Holy Spirit gives us all these gifts, and he gives to all. The Bible says is given to each one. So no one can say they don't have a gift of the Holy Spirit. Every person has been given a gift of the Holy Spirit. You just need to find out which it is. There are also the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is, we've said, is the work of the Holy Spirit inside you. The more you obey him, the more he gives you love, the more he gives you peace, the more he gives you joy. He gives you patience, he gives you kindness, he gives you goodness, he gives you faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit. That means it's a composite fruit. That means all these qualities you must release. You must have them. And God, through the Holy Spirit, he'll enable you to have them. So we said, continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. So God is telling us you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why even when you're working, you can be humming a song. You can be singing a psalm. You can be giving thanks to God. And that way you can continually stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's also, beyond that is also, you can also be full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when he had come out of the temptation, he came out full of the Holy Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. So that means there is a process. You can grow in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are filled from the beginning, but you continue being filled, and then you can be full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God gives the Spirit without measure. God is able to give you the Holy Spirit without measure. and you can be filled with the fullness of God. That means it is by faith. You believe it, you continue receiving it, and you continue to walk in the Spirit of God. What have we learned? And this is where we'll be coming to a conclusion. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate event from salvation. In salvation, the Holy Spirit comes inside the believer and dwells in the believer. But in baptism in the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you, he anoints the believer. Number two, also, baptism in the Holy Spirit is outward manifestation of the anointing of God on one's life. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is an evidence to others and to you that God has called you. God has given you a call. God has marked you for his kingdom, that there is a service in the kingdom of God that he will want you to do, and he has empowered you to do it. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is given for a specific function, which is to witness, to increase the kingdom of God. Anyone who receives the Holy Spirit, anyone who receives the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that those gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just to make you rich. They are to make you an effective witness. When God gives you the ability to stand before people, to preach for people, God wants you to increase the kingdom of God. Yes. And we have also seen that baptism in the Holy Spirit is initially evidenced by speaking in tongues. It does not mean automatically it will happen. Some people might not have it because they might not understand it or they might not be willing. But we will see the evidence in your life. We will see the fruit. We will see the manifestation of the gifts, and we can know and say that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But let us know that baptism in the Holy Spirit does not make us immune from sin or falling away. We must continually choose the Holy Spirit. We must continually choose to follow after Christ. If you continually follow after Christ, he will keep you from sin. Jesus told his disciples, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Now, baptism in the Holy Spirit does not make you more righteous than others, but it is grace to be received with humility. You humble yourself before God. And lastly, God has promised that those who are hungry, they shall be filled. What have we learned? We have said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask in faith, knowing that God is a good father. He's very willing. Believe that God is willing to give you and he will not deny you. He's a good father. Receive by faith. Claim it. Take hold of what God has given you. And then you speak in faith. And you'll walk in the truth and in the fullness of God. I want to stop here, and I pray that God has given us insight into this. And yeah, since it's a Bible study, if you have any questions or concerns, you are welcome to ask. Welcome.